You're listening to Stateside. I'm April Baer. This week, Michigan's Attorney General Dana Nessel announced that the state is suing 17 companies that manufacture PFAS for various products. The suit claims that the companies knew of the risks to human health and did not alert the public to the dangers. PFAS has been detected in drinking water at many sites in Michigan and has been linked to myriad health problems, damage to internal organs, and some forms of cancer. Lawmakers from Michigan have been sounding the alarm in Washington, D.C. as well. Last week, the House passed a bill to regulate PFAS and disposal of those harmful chemicals. Congressman Andy Levin is in the group of lawmakers working on the issue, and he joins us now. Congressman, welcome.
Thank you so much, and welcome to you, April.
Stateside
is a major institution in our state, so it's really great to have you there.
It is great to be here. Before we talk about the bill, the state of Michigan filed suit against 3M and DuPont and other companies, 17 defendants total, claiming that they deliberately concealed the dangers of PFAS chemicals, going for substantial damages. Is that an appropriate step?
It sure is. I mean, we have really gotten away from holding polluters accountable in this country. We need these major corporations that knowingly profit from selling chemicals that are poisonous, that are carcinogenic, that cause cancer, that cause reproductive problems, on and on. We need to hold them accountable for cleaning it up. And so that's what the Attorney General and the governor are trying to do there, and I'm right with them.
We've heard so much about PFAS in our water systems and the state's contaminated sites. As we look at the bill that you've put forward, what is the risk posed by PFAS in the air?
Well, so we've got to get PFAS out of the ground, out of the water. But if we then incinerate it and we just put PFAS into the air, then we're going to breathe it in. And I, as your listeners have probably heard, PFAS is a forever chemical. 98% of Americans already have PFAS in us. And the one of the most effective ways of transmitting it is to breathe it in. So we really need to be very careful how we dispose of PFAS once we, move to remediation, which we've got to do much more quickly than the EPA is doing.
Right. And your bill pertains to how PFAS chemicals are disposed of by incineration. Just to be clear, we're talking about Department of Defense contractors incinerating specially made firefighting foam that was made with PFAS chemicals, right?
Well, so there's two things that I've done. The first bill is was actually incorporated into the National Defense Authorization Act, which passed in December and was signed by the president. And that my provision in there specifically pertains to the Department of Defense. And it's not just about incineration, actually. That bill covers how they store it, that they have to store it in a way that meets Clean Water Act standards, and so there isn't, PFAS leakage of PFAS contaminated water into the groundwater or the drinking water systems. And then it also covers disposal through incineration. And now the PFAS Safe Disposal Act that was put into the broader PFAS Action Act, which we just passed, is about incineration particularly, and it goes beyond the Department of Defense. It calls on the EPA to make sure that countrywide, system-wide, we make sure that PFAS is disposed of in a way that doesn't make the problem worse by releasing it into the air.
The law, as you say, already requires that incineration be overseen and conducted within controlled temperatures that are designed to break down PFAS chemicals. Why is that standard inadequate?
Well, so the EPA has failed to act on PFAS. That's why we called it the PFAS Action Act. We need them to set safe standards, and we need them to really oversee the disposal of PFAS. You could have companies disposing of PFAS by themselves and violating those standards, and the EPA doesn't even get involved. I mean, I just think that we've got something that is in danger of becoming sort of the DDT of our era, a whole big family of chemicals There are literally thousands of different compounds. They were made not just for firefighting foam, but for nonstick pans and water repellent clothing and so forth. And we need to investigate all of this and make sure that we identify all of its uses and dispose and get it out of these industrial processes. And so we need EPA to step up and be much more aggressive about this, just like we need the Defense Department to be careful about all of its facilities.
The bill says that when PFAS chemicals are incinerated, the EPA needs to make sure they don't become dispersed in the air. So are you saying that incinerators need to have scrubbers installed?
There's the technology is, you know, sort of nascent on this, really. And there are different possible avenues. There's the question of temperatures and whether incineration at very high temperatures could prevent them from being released. And then there's the question of scrubbers and other filtering devices that could keep PFAS out of the air. The whole problem here, I mean, I think the first step is humility. Our country does not say that a company has to prove a chemical safe before they start using it in industry, like happens mostly in Europe. So now we have to play catch up. And we have to say, what are these different compounds? What does safe incineration mean in the PFAS context? And so we need to get going with research on what the best disposal methods are. And in the meantime, we have to make sure that disposal that happens doesn't just exacerbate the problem.
Is the goal to come up with other options beyond incineration?
That is also a real live question. Are there ways of treating water that could remove PFAS? We don't have any of those methods in existence yet, but we should be aggressively looking. I mean, that's, you know, really the great thing about America that I feel like this in this whole Trump era, we are not taking scientific approaches. Just how proud are most of us as Americans, how patriotic about the incredible innovation and creativity and research that we have, demonstrated over, a couple hundred years now in solving technological problems. If the EPA takes a stance that we're going to defend big corporations and we're going to bury our head in the sand and not get about doing this, you're stopping all this research that needs to happen. And it is so penny wise and pound foolish because, look, people can't fish in the Huron River. I mean, and as we do more, investigations, we may find that more and more of our water systems are contaminated, more and more of our rivers need to be restricted. So we need to take an aggressive scientific approach to this and not bury our head in the sand, which is seems like what EPA is doing now. And you know, those of us in Congress from Michigan, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, different states where this problem is manifesting more, Republicans as well as Democrats are uniting around this approach. So, you know, we had quite a few Republicans who voted for this. I think there were 24 who voted for this bill. So, you know, in this day and age, that's pretty bipartisan. And it's a real beachhead of Republicans working with Democrats to solve this problem.
There are some different concerns when it comes to firefighting and the firefighting that takes place on Air Force bases. I wonder, tell us if you think, how do you think the Department of Defense is doing addressing this problem? Do you feel like it's turning its head away from the issue, or has it been an acceptable partner?
Well, I think the DOD, I think they should have moved faster, and I think they should have been more aggressive about this. But I really want to put responsibility on the doorstep of elected officials. The President of the United States is the Commander in Chief. We are the Congress makes the laws and organizes the military, decides what equipment to give them, funds all their, you know, the troops and the bases. We need to say to DOD, this is the deal. This is what you have to do. If you want to blame the DOD, I think they deserve their fair share of blame. But look, every fire department has been used. Every local fire department in the 9th District and, you know, Oakland and Macomb County and everywhere else has used this stuff. It worked great. And, you know, it's a hard thing to put out fires that, especially if it involves a lot of jet fuel or diesel fuel or other things. So, we learn as we go. Look at how we dealt with refrigeration. You know, when we found out that the chemicals we were using caused a big problem for the ozone layer, people said, oh, my gosh, that's going to be impossible, you know, to replace. And actually, we came up with innovation and, your refrigerator still works pretty well. So I think we could do the same thing with PFAS, but you know, industry will get about it when we tell them the gig is up. You've got to come up with other compounds that work well here. And we're not going to let you keep selling something and using something that is such a grave danger to human health.
Do we know how much contaminated foam and water may still be out there? My understanding is that the Air Force may have already incinerated much of its stockpile.
We don't know. We don't know how much is out there. And we don't know. In general, what happened was that our military bases, because they have a lot of difficult potential fire situations with fighter jets and tanks and so forth. And if there were crashes or problems, fires based with the fuels that we use there, they did a lot of drills and they used PFAS to, practice. I think they mostly just washed it off the runway or the pad or wherever they were into the ground. They simply didn't, it wasn't dealt with properly at all for many years. So we need to, they've got to test around all the bases. We've got to test around all the places where this may have been used. It's going to take some time. We're going to have to build it into our practice. And we're going to, we have a ways to go before we find out the extent of this problem.
A listener named Kelly left a comment on our Facebook page. She writes, the federal government has an obligation to clean these chemicals, which are causing irreparable harm in our communities, period. End of quote. She would seem to agree with your assessment that the federal government really needs to step up and do the enforcement on this. At the same time, the PFAS Action Act passed in the House, it's stranded in the Senate, and the White House has suggested it will be vetoed if it moves forward. What are your goalposts on this? Do you feel like you maybe can get a few things codified, and those are the ends that you want to go for right now?
Well, I take the same approach to this as I do to other important areas of legislation. I mean, we've passed over 400 bills we passed in 2019 through the House. 275 of them were bipartisan. And virtually none of them have been moved by the Senate. And the president threatens to veto this and that. He actually, for example, we passed through both houses a bill to say stop supporting Saudi Arabia's war in Yemen that is causing famine, that is causing children to die, people to be dislocated. And the president vetoed that. And we simply did not have the supermajorities in the House and Senate to overcome the president's vetoes. My approach is to pass through the House legislation that reflects the policy that the American people deserve. And I don't expect Mitch McConnell to just vote on everything we pass. Let him pass a bill through PFAS, through the Senate on PFAS that he thinks is a different approach, and we can go to conference and hammer out a compromise. I'm all about the sausage making. They're just not making any sausage at all over there. They're refusing to do their jobs besides passing right-wing judges. That was the one thing they've been working on. And I'm fine with filling vacancies in the judiciary, but the Senate has to do its job. I think that this is the way our democracy works, April. We're going to have an election here for every member of the House, for many senators, and for the president in less than 10 months. And I think all we can do in the House is our part of the work, which is pass bills that should become law. You know, we've passed a Raise the Wage Act to have $15 an hour be a minimum throughout the country by 2025. We passed legislation to say that Medicare should negotiate the price of prescription drugs, to put a ceiling on out-of-pocket costs for our seniors on prescription drugs. We've passed sensible background check bills, two bills, one to make background checks universal and one to make sure that they work well by giving the authorities enough time to get back to gun dealers about whether someone should be sold a gun or not. We've passed so much legislation, and I'm all about the Senate. It's controlled by the Republicans. That's fine. They can take a different approach. But what the heck? Pass something on these matters, and let's, you know, negotiate whatever way we can move the ball forward. Your listener is absolutely right. The federal government should be doing this work to protect the American people from PFAS contamination and its health effects. And all I can do is, keep passing legislation in the House and call on our colleagues in the Senate to get to work on it.
Congressman Levin, thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you, April. It's so great to talk to you, and good luck in these first months.
Thank you.
You sound great.
Thanks. Congressman Andy Levin represents Michigan's 9th District.